which rolled over the wizards and was so oppressive and soft that they couldn't even hear their own heartbeats. Old Tom, the university's magical and tongueless bell, tolled out 2 a.m. by striking the silences.
Said Ponder, "it's not as simple as that."
Ridcully blinked. "Why not?" he said. "Bring him back by magic. We sent him there, we can bring him back."
It'd take months to set it up properly if you want him back right here," said Ponder. "If we get it wrong, he'll end up arriving in a circle 50 feet wide."
"That's not a problem, is it? If we keep out of it, he can land anywhere."
"I don't think you quite understand, sir. The signal-to-noise ratio of any thalmic transfer over an uncertain distance, coupled with the disc's own spin, will almost certainly result in a practical averaging of the arriving subject over an area of a couple of 1,000 square feet, at least, sir."
"Say again?"
Ponder took a deep breath. "I mean, he'll end up arriving as a circle 50 feet wide."
"Ah, so he probably wouldn't be very good in the library after that, then?"
"Only as a very large bookmark, sir."
"All right, then. It's down to sheer geography. Who've we got who knows anything about geography?"
The miners emerged from the vertical shaft like ants leaving a burning nest. There were thumps and thuds from below, and at one point Struth's hat shot up into the air, turned over a few times and dropped back. There was silence for a while, and then bits cracking off it like errant pieces of shell on a newly hatched chick. The thing pulled itself out of the shaft and looked around it. The miners, crouched behind various bushes and sheds, were quite certain of this, even though the monster had no visible eyes. It turned its hundreds of little legs, moving rather stiffly, as if they'd spent too much time buried in the ground. Then, weaving slightly, it set off. And far away in the shimmering red desert, the man in the pointy hat climbed carefully out of his hole. He held in both hands a bowl made of bark. It contained lots of vitamins, valuable protein, and essential fats. See? No mention of wriggling at all. A fire was smouldering a little way away. He put the bowl down carefully and picked up a large stick, stood quietly for a moment, and then suddenly began to hop around the fire, smacking the ground with a stick and shouting, "Ha!" When the ground had been subdued to his apparent satisfaction, he whacked at the bushes as if they had personally offended him and bashed a couple of trees as well. Finally, he advanced on a couple of flat rocks, lifted up each one in turn, averted his eyes, and shouted, "Ha!" again, and flailed blindly at the ground beneath. The landscape having been acceptably pacified, he sat down to eat his supper before it escaped. It tasted a little like chicken. When you're hungry enough, practically anything can. And eyes watched him from the nearby waterhole. They were not the tiny eyes of the swarming beetles and tadpoles that made a careful examination of every handful he drank a vital gastronomic precaution. These were far older eyes, and currently without any physical component. For weeks, a man whose ability to find water was limited to checking if his feet were wet had survived in this oven-ready country by falling into waterholes. A man who thought of spiders as harmless little creatures had experienced only a couple of nasty shocks when, by now, this approach should have left him with arms the size of beer barrels that glowed in the dark. The man had even hit the seashore once and paddled in a little way to look at the pretty blue jellyfish, and it was all the watcher could do to see that he got a mere light sting which ceased to be agonizing after only a few days. The waterhole bubbled and the ground trembled as if, despite the cloudless sky, there was a storm somewhere. Now it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Ridcully was good at doing without other people's sleep. Unseen University was much bigger on the inside. Thousands of years as the leading establishment of practical magic in a world where dimensions were largely a matter of chance in any case, had left it bulging in places where it shouldn't have places. There were rooms containing rooms, which if you entered them, turned out to contain the room you'd started with, which can be a problem if you're in a conga line. and because it was so big, it could afford to have an almost unlimited number of staff on the premises. Tenure was automatic, or more accurately, non-existent.